look into the book of Jude this morning, there are a few things that I want to touch upon. Now, this book of Jude, well, just 25 verses. Jude is not really the second last book of the Bible, but it is in your King James. Alright? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Now, a small little book like this, just that we have in your next door neighbor, third epistle of John, the small epistle, and so was Titus, small little epistle, just a letter. Now, who was Jude? And on what important was this epistle written? One of the longest books, of course, in the New Testament is the book of Hebrews. Thessalonians also. But here we have just 25 verses. 25 verses and make up something, there must be something important to write even just a couple of sentences. Who was Jude? Now he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a brother of James. Was Jude an apostle of Jesus Christ? I say he was a brother of James. Some of you may not want to know who he was, perhaps they don't know. And who was this James? Now, in your New King James Version, you say he is the son of James. Most of the translation would say son of James. All of them brother of James. Because in the Hebrew, in the Greek word, it just say brother, or it just say of James. Son of Jesus Christ and of James. Now, so people say that by any sense it would be son of James. But, well, you know there's a lot of pro and con. And who is this James? Well, after a lot of debate and so forth, which is not very important to us, whether he was a brother or a son of James, but the very fact is that no matter how you look at it, it refers to actually the brother of James. The brother of James was a half-brother of Jesus Christ. So who is this Jude? Was he an apostle? Was he one of the 12? Was James one of the 12? No. The one who wrote the book of James wasn't one of the 12. He was a half-brother of Jesus. And Jude was his brother. Now, let us look, of course, into something so that you can get a background of the way that the book was written, the book of Luke, chapter 8. And verse 19 to 20. Now, we know that Jesus had brothers, half-brothers, and it's after Jesus Christ was born. Mary and Joseph gave birth to children, sons and daughters. And here it was in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. Then came to him his mother, his brethren, and they could not come at him for the prayers. And it was told by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. Now, that's for sure that Jesus had brother, because they're talking about the mother. Also, Matthew 13. And when we see Matthew 13, we realize that Mary and Joseph had at least 4 sons and 3 daughters. At least 3 daughters, but we know there are 4 sons. Matthew 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary? His brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude. And his sister, are they not all with us? So now, there are at least four half-brothers that Jesus had. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Judas is the Hebrew word. Corrupt forms, in the sense, say, because it's Judah. Jude is Latin. So Jude, in the book here, that we are looking at, is one of the 12. And he's a half-brother. Alright? In other places of scripture, of course, his name is sometimes called Judas Thaddeus, Judas Levius. Alright? That's where it is. Now, to prove further that, now, you know the Catholic Church? They want to make marriage immaculate. Huh? So they do deny these verses and say, no, this referring to cousins. You know, in cousin, in Asia, cousins usually most of the time called brother. Isn't that so? Huh? But not in the English world. So in the Eastern world, cousins are called brothers. So they tried to do away that this was Jesus' half-brother by Mary and Joseph. You understand? They want to make Virgin Mary virgin again. That she never gave birth after Jesus Christ was born. But let's look at it and see. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 7. Now here we have a word they cannot deny. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Who was she? Mary. Mary brought forth her firstborn son. Who was the firstborn? Jesus Christ. Now here, the word firstborn, the Greek word is prototokos, which means that number one in the lineage. Now, if you go over to Luke chapter 7, verse 12. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, Luke chapter 7, verse 12. When he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. Now, this one means, in the Greek, is monogene. Means only one. There's no other. So when Jesus was the firstborn to Mary, he was not the only son. Now, go to John 3. Now, we all know this verse, John 3:60. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only begotten son, to God, Jesus was the only one, monogene. You see the word used here? Sure. So Mary, Jesus was not the only, but he was the firstborn. So now why would the Catholic want to twist it? Because they are paganism. The Roman Catholicism, as Abraham said it, the highest form of spiritism. In Rome, under the Union Roman Empire, they believe in all sorts of gods. So to win them, the people in the empire compromised. And today, of course, we have a lot of this Virgin Mary practically over so many different countries in different ways. In the Chinese form is Xinmu or something like that. And in Egypt is Isis. No? In some other country, you have your Siberia and so many others, you know. So they're supposed to be naked, and they always see an idol of a woman, a stone sculpture of a woman carrying a baby. The only one. After that, she remained immaculate. The Old Testament, Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 8 and 9. Now this is a psalm of David, and some, and David, you know, when he sings, he prophesies. When the noise of nothing comes, he prophesies. And most of the time, you remember when he prophesies, he speaks in a form like he was in the state of Christ. Remember? The spirit of prophecy, the spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Remember that. The spirit of an anointing of God is the spirit of prophecy. And many times you can see from David's own psalms, like even he will not see the Holy One to see corruption and so forth, you know. And here he was. You can see it is here, right here, 69 verse 8 and 9. I have become a savior unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children, for the zeal of the house hath eaten me up. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. You see, that's book of Christ saying that I have become a savior unto my own brother. Huh? And an alien unto my mother's children. That cannot, you cannot deny that, that Jesus Christ had half brothers by his mother Mary. So now Judas was, of course, here in the scripture here, therefore we know, is none other than the half brother of Jesus, also a brother to James. One of the four brothers that we know and mention over there in the book of Matthew. Alright. Now, as we look into this book today, this particular time now, there are certain things that, by looking at the verse, there might be things that I said and I don't want to be misconstrued as by those who hear this tape. Because I don't believe in calling names to run people down. Let us continue to look at it. Here we have, as in the first verse, the greeting of Jude. To them they are sanctified by God the Father and preserving Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Remember, this is written only to the all epistle. They were written to God's people. And remember this, all this, in early church, when the Jew received the gospel, the fellowship, in the home, on Sabbath day comes, they go to the synagogue. By and by, they move into home. More, because you have the Gentiles that came into the message, or the gospel, and they don't go to the synagogue. So, you know, the epistle that is sent, or written by Jude, may not seem much to people, but here he is attacking certain group of people. The Gnostics. You know they are Gnostic? This is Gnostics. It's a philosophy that distinguish sharply between things that are metal, the M-A-T-T-R, metal, as being, or things that we can see. In this three dimension, they are considered evil. Things that we can't see, the spirit world, are supposed to be considered good. Now, in those days, of course, with all kinds of religion that we have today, and so this was written, of course, to contend for the faith that we have in creation. That we believe that God created. And that's why if God created this material world, it cannot be evil. But some of this philosophy, even in churches today, the biggest church down in Korea, pastored by a man called Reverend Sun Moon Yee something, or I can't remember his name, Moon something, or whatever. Now, he is the man who brought in a lot of philosophy to his church. And that's why you find that slowly how the devil works is to bring in something and together with the Bible. And the whole thing, when a man stands in a pulpit and preaches and teaches, using the Bible, yet mixing philosophy, most of the people, as I said last Friday, the people are sheep, and sheep are dumb animals. Whatever the pastor throw out to them, they'll eat. Many of them don't question it. You realize that, don't you? And many of them are particularly being led to the slaughter. So we need to know what we believe in to understand it right. We have Catholic Catholicism, bring some of the pagan stuff, and the way that they are able to take the Bible here and there. Well, people like some of you here who were once Roman Catholic, you believe in the Immaculate Conception, right? And you stood for it, wouldn't you? Yes. And you don't believe that there's no other authority except what comes up on the mouth of the Pope. And that the priest has the power to forgive your sins. They're able to take a scripture here and there and well, comes up with it. But the Bible says if you are a child of God, He has given you an unction. He has given you an anointing to know. And you better make use of the unction. Make use of the anointing. Because the Bible is for you. It's not for the Pope or for the priest. That's why in the Dark Ages, the Catholic, they went out. The Inquisitor, they went out. Hunting for, well, it was a justice. If any person, any home is found a Bible, the whole family will be taken, put to death, torture them, then put to death. And then the pastor law, nobody could read the Bible and understand the Bible, only the Pope and the priest and then those who are trained, who have their hair stripped off in the top. But today, people are supposed to be educated. After all, there's so much knowledge in the world here today. People are going to school now. You're suddenly young one, you are enough. Most of you are at least going to college. In my time, we don't go to college, you know. You go back 100 years, people don't have a chance to even go to, for even a small little education. And yet, today we see intellectual man, intellectual woman, people are educated, have the Bible, don't even know when to search it out. Right? Now, verse 11, when I give all religion to write unto you of the common salvation. Now, here he's talking about a common salvation. What do you mean a common salvation? Who is Jude talking to? When he used the word, I write to you about a common salvation. Now, Jude was a Jew. Huh? Now, who is writing to a common salvation? It must be a mixed multitude of people there. I mean, mixed race of people. The Gentiles are there. So it's a common salvation now. It's not for the Jew only, but for the Gentiles as well. And so he's addressing a church. There are Gentiles, believers, and Jewish believers now. It was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you, that wish that you should earnestly. Oh, you know, talking about earnestly, not just content for the faith, but earnestly. Now, I wonder how you could really earnestly content for what you have. You don't seriously content for it. But okay, I believe, yeah, I believe. But earnestly content for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. What is faith? The faith. The faith. Earnestly content for the faith. Now, when we talk about contending for the faith, we're not talking about contending for knowledge. What you know is knowledge. What I know is knowledge. Is that right? What we learn is knowledge. But we are not contending for knowledge of what we know. We are contending for the faith that we know. That's where we have problems. It is unnatural. Here we have one camp on the thunders, another camp on the seal, another camp for the polygamous, teaching, and another one for this and that, whatever. And everyone said they are contending for the faith. No, they are not. They are contending for the knowledge of what you think was faith to them. What is the faith? What is the faith? I shared on Friday. And I always been on my part that I will never call names, no matter what the person do to me. If I were to call name in the church, there would be no cake goes out from here. Just for your understanding. And if I cake is going to go out, I will never call name. Because I don't believe in that. Because people misuse the scripture of what Paul said in calling name. Now, it's so very hard truly, but let us go and look at 2 Timothy. Something that we need to know here and there. Second Timothy 2:14-19. All right. This thing, now Paul wrote Timothy, of course, one of his runner boys, and of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth, but some profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And your words will eat as do a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the right selection is past already, and destroying the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord know them that are his. And let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from such iniquity. Now here we have, of course, four core names now. Here we have four core names. Hymenaeus, Philetus. What did he call his name? What he called them. And what in other places he didn't. As to others. Now you look here carefully now. In verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past. Now, when somebody come around and tell you and start to spread doctrine in this church and say rapture is already over, and preach it and say rapture is over, you know what I mean? Wrestling is already finished. You know how serious that is. Because after all, if wrestling is over, we already miss it. So if we miss it, then why we waste time? And people say we're destroyed. And then you see? Or if someone will come here and preach you that God is true, there's no Holy Spirit. Just Jesus and God. Two persons sitting up there in the throne. Now you're going to... That's a serious error. Someone will come and tell you, if you don't baptize in the name of Jesus, say you will never have salvation. If you believe, but you're not baptized, you're not going to be saved. You know what I mean? Say, and force people to get baptized. And we don't force people to get baptized.
will teach people to understand the need for water baptism. If you truly is a child, then get baptized. With nobody forcing you.
There's no one kind of means to say, I don't get baptized, I'm safe.
And he said, hey, I see the only thing you do is you disobey the word then. And if you disobey the word then, how can you call yourself a believer when you disobey the word? Because Paul, because Peter says, he turned and he's baptized. Then why do you refuse baptism? Do you understand? People teaching must balance the word, not force upon a person. I don't do that. I don't force you to keep your ties to the Lord. It's not my business. Now what I'm saying is, when you come to the body of God, coming to the state of perfection, it's not my business. It's God's business. It's God's work. God is working a work in your life. As Paul said in the book of Ephesians, we are His workmanship. We only do our part. But as far as perfection is concerned, God is the one to do it. That brings about it. Is that right? If God asks me to say, well, set the tortoise on fire, put the fire on his backside so he move, I will do that. That's all I know how. And God will certainly make the fire hot enough for him to move. And the tortoise will know where to go. You see? Like he says, that you can take a horse or lead a horse to the water, but you cannot make him to drink. Put a horse to horse to drink, put his head down, I can tell you, he'll kick you. You can lead him to the water, but you cannot. He will never drink if he doesn't want to drink. Take a swine out of a miry crate, take a swine out of the pit or this mud hole, washing, shampoo it, you know? This is the best shampoo bath that you can ever. Well, your money is worth, you know. And let him go and see what happens. And tell him, he said, you spit all that mud now. A pig will oil you and then oil you. And then he goes right back. That's right where he goes. You know, that's why I said the characteristics. If we are born of God, we eat God's word. We follow His word. We believe His word and sense it. So now here, Paul. Now, you see, Paul asked, told Timothy, put them in remembrance, touching them before the Lord, talking about with words to no profit. Subverting to the hearing, you know. It's true. Like I received this email from the Philippines. This brother has been a believer for so many years with his father passed away. And he has been keeping away from all the other churches because all they do is talk about Brother Brennan and quote Brother Brennan when they preach and say, and they are all so strange revelations. Now he stays home with his wife. And he has been searching and praying, you know, for a people that could believe and preach the word. And I received his email last 2 weeks ago and he came across our website. And he rejoiced over there and he wrote me an email and said, Bergan, is there anybody in Iloilo City that believes the same and what you teach? So I have to contact a brother over in Manila and see to contact him to find out if there's anybody, a little group there in Iloilo City for him. Now you know, people are just, this incarnation, this brother, all what they have is just, all these codes and this just all striving with words to no profit. If you want to learn something, take the Bible, teach it, share it, prove it. And Paul says, study the word of God. Paul told Timothy, a workman may not be ashamed. Writing divine word of truth. Because we're looking at Revelation. We're looking at what God says in His word. Not hear a statement of brother, get a statement of brother, and then come up with some revelation, and then you can't even find a place in the Bible for it. So Somebody will grab one statement, you see, Brother Abraham says, I can marry again. If my wife cut the hair, I can just divorce her and I'll marry a new wife. Woo! You all know what Brother Abraham said, don't you? Right? And some people just got that statement. You know why Brother Abraham said the way he said it? I can tell you one thing. Many times Brother Abraham, like I said this, even poor, even in his preaching, he always stretched the rubber band almost going to break. And people will grab it and he breaks. Huh? Is really what Brother Abraham said to be a child of the Lord just because you make a statement like that? It's a warning to a woman. You understand? Now, Paul said about Hymenaeus of Philippus. Let me go to another verse. 1 Timothy 1, sorry. Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 20. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which warned before on thee, that thou by thine mightiest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now here we have altogether three. Hymenaeus, Philippus, Alexander. Paul called them. These are the people that blaspheme. You know what is blaspheme? Now, I don't know what else did Alexander, Hymenaeus, or Philippus taught besides just to say that it teaches so strongly that the resurrection is past. They must have any other thing. Because when you have a false doctrine, remember, a demon is in it. And then you're going to get more false doctrine. Because you see, the demon will go out and bring more other demons with false doctrine to come into your life. Isn't that true? Huh? Brother Bam's the absolute. Just be careful now. Sooner or later, you come again. Oh, the millennium is here. That's just over. Next thing you see, you don't need communion table no more. You don't need any more communion. No more foot washing. And very soon, you don't have to come to church anymore. Stay home. Christ is coming. He's here. You all can stay home now. Everybody stay home. Like what was taught by someone in America, passing over to how we go to Malaysia with that doctrine. Huh? How strange is this, isn't it? Don't forget, once deviation, you deviate from the Word of God, to so far it becomes a false doctrine, you find that demons will hang around it. Do you understand it? Look at charismaticism. Look at Pentecostalism, the problem they started. But it wasn't so bad when they brought in that freaking tongues gathered on the Holy Spirit. But by and by, you were bringing forth a result. And when charismaticism took over in the late 50s to this time, Pentecostal just couldn't hold back. Because charismatism was so far ahead in the race to build empires. And people were all speaking in tongues in denomination because of that trust. And so what happened? The Pentecostal joined the bandwagon, you know? So there was all the call to their Pentecostal charismaticism. And because Pentecostal started out a denomination that you do speak in tongues, you have the Holy Ghost. Then now, as the Pope speak in tongues, you have the Holy Ghost. A Lutheran speak in tongues, he has the Holy Ghost. The priest speak in tongues, he has the Holy Ghost. How could the Pentecostal deny that? After all, they are the ones that defined the doctrine about baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when you start something like this, how are you going to retract after all these years? Because you said so, and now this person who is a Catholic, and he's a cardinal, and he's speaking in tongues, and he still says, Hail Mary! And you're telling me that he's not having the Holy Ghost? You said so in the first place. You spoke in tongues, you got it. Now you see, that doctrine catches up with this Pentecostal all these years now, right now, in this last 50 years. And what did that, what does that bring? It gave them the freedom. What the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. John. Brother Joseph, you see, oh, what the Spirit of God is, liberty. I speak in tongues. And there were tongues, and there were speaking tongues, and they were prophesied. I have the liberty to do anything I want to. Bring in the rock band. Bring the drums. Bring all that. And play the music. Not holy music. And somehow so, even the pastor and his wife come out and dress like movie stars. And sing like pop stars. Jarring their hit. Oh my! That's the Holy Spirit! That's the Holy Spirit? No. That's a demon there. Like this Baptist man who wrote that article, but he came and visited just to see the biggest church in Singapore in action. He couldn't believe it. And he said the truth. Take that music out of the church and see the attendance. People are there not for the word of God. They are there for a good time. They are there to move with their butt in the music. They'll move their hand, their leg, and whatever. You know, people like this music, huh? National Day was yesterday, wasn't it? I always watch National Day if I could on a television. But I'm talking to a Singaporean, you know. So I just join the great celebration. You know, the fun, the music comes. Yeah, these are all cultural things. They go out there and they wave the flag and all this. You know, after the end is over, the firework, you see all the people, you know, everybody likes to move. So, I mean, that's all, to move. The Hebrew move, when the dance of the Lord, to move. But today, it's moving according to a music that is divine. It's wrong music. Isn't it? You know that? Let them sing the song that they should be singing like the Jew, and let them wave up their hands. Just like what the Jew did. They won't do that. They want to swing and do what Elvis Presley did when he was alive. And Brother Branham said he rocked and rolled himself to hell. People say, oh, Brother Branham. There was another man who was a former Bob Larson. His name was Bob Larson. He came to Singapore when I was in the 60s. He came to Singapore, he was evangelist. He was once upon a time a rock pop star. He was converted, became an evangelist, and he wrote a book, Rock and Roll to Hell. Yes, rock and roll music send you to hell. A lot of people don't understand. The music is wonderful. But rock and roll, it can take you out of God, out of heaven, out of your faith, into hellfire. You don't realize that. That's why today it's an age. It's a challenge. To honestly contend with the faith that you have. See what's going out around the world and coming into the church. Are we going to contend for the faith? Scary, isn't it? Alright. Let us go to Galatians 1. Here now. Just in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 to 9. Now here was the church in Galatia. They had a certain problem. Because after all, the church in Galatia, a mixture of three people, you know. The Greek converts. There are the Gentile converts. And there are those who are Judaized Gentile converts. You remember that? And these Gentiles who had been converted to Judaism by circumcision before they came to the gospel. You understand now? Huh? You know, there are Gentile believers today that are, I mean, not Gentile believers, Gentile or people who are non-Jew, they convert themselves to Judaism. And when you do that, you have to circumcise. And then this same person later on accept the gospel. So now in this church of Galatia, we have these three kinds of people. One were originally, they were Jews, they were converted to the gospel. Then you have Gentiles who converted to the gospel. And then you have the Judaizers, Gentiles, converted to the gospel. Now in that time, of course, where the promise side is all about circumcision in the law. Now Paul here says, I know not that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There is such another gospel. How many gospels are there supposed to be? There's only one. As if there's another. But there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or another angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we preach unto you, like in the occurs. Now Paul said this very strongly. If anyone brought you another gospel, then that person should be accursed. Give him a warning. Okay? Then you'll find. Chapter 2, verse 4. And because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Hey, you know, some people might like to use this verse. That it carries many perhaps. They came to spy our liberty of dancing and having rock music. They, you know. Now they come here and tell us we should not be doing that. They can do that. You can take the scripture in any way you want to. Well, that the pastor, this woman pastor, is a rock. Well, he's even make money selling gospel. Go to Hong Kong and promote, Taiwan and promote her career. Yes. Some people say they don't see any reason why she can't do it. What business is that? In the first place, she shouldn't be a preacher in the first place. But you see, I have the spirit, I have liberty. Don't put me in bondage, they will tell you. She will tell you that. Hey, when God gives you a liberty, don't run wild with it. That you can do anything with life, with the liberty that God's given you. Because when you do that, you're no longer a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Your liberty is within that bound. Huh? You understand? Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. And what a prisoner is, you have no rights. Huh? All your rights is under the person who is your captor. And once he gives you the spirit, once he gives you the freedom, then you have that. Otherwise, you don't. So don't misuse that person and say, well, it's still God's liberty and I can do what I want. And here Paul talk about, there were those that come in here and spy out their liberty in Christ. What is this liberty? Liberty is from the law. Away from the law. They are coming in to bring the law and to put you back again. Now, here Paul is dealing with this group of people that are all three different kinds of converts. Okay, here sitting down here, three persons. Huh? Sit here. Yeah. Three men here. Three converts. The Jew, the Gentile, the Judaizer, Gentile. Jew, circumcised. This one here, the Gentile, non-circumcised. This one here, Gentile, circumcised. So they're all sitting together and one of them wondering says, hey, this one here who is circumcised Gentile says to the other one who is next to him, you are not circumcised. How could you be? So and so say, you must be circumcised. And then this one here with a Jew looking at him here, yeah, you must be circumcised. You see, this one, the one who is a Jew point to the Gentile who is circumcised, he is circumcised, and I'm circumcised. You are not. How can it be? Now, that is a fiction that's been created by someone that come in, you know what I mean, using the law. Oh, I tell you something. The man who is a Jew who is circumcised, he's already circumcised. The Gentile who is convert of Judaism, he's already circumcised. So let it be. That this one here who is a Gentile who is not circumcised, why do you force circumcision on him? Force it. Don't bring in that law. We are not saved by circumcision. The law doesn't save us. Now, what did Paul in this case, in this church, Galatia, call out the name of the person who been spreading all this circumcision? Why didn't he call up the name? Because it was nothing that destroyed the faith. He only created a little problem. Do you understand that? Because they were thinking, do we have the circumcision? Yeah, you know, you need to. Especially those that are, those Jews, especially the Pharisees. There were some Pharisees also at that time, they were converted to Christianity. They were converted to the gospel. You know, they still think that the law must be applied. Do you understand? And this is nothing, this has nothing to do with false doctrine. And what important not call out the name of these people? Well, there's always been a case of people just simply calling names and then distort the faith of others for years. Over the years, you know me, I don't do that. If I do, as I said, the light, the tape never go out. It's only for you. Now just imagine this. If I were to call a name of certain people, or certain minister, because of some teaching that contradicts mine. And if I keep on doing this, oftentimes, one or two things. If you are a gunite, you stand for it. Huh? If you are not, you are fed up with it. And the same that goes out all the world, the gunites will love it. And those who know me already now say, oh, what's going on doing? I don't like it. It's one of these two things. You know, and it will destroy the faith, because it confuses the people. And that's the reason why I receive letters from different ones that tell me, oh, so-and-so is speaking about you, but again, so-and-so is saying this over there. So, well, let them be anyway. It's a very sad thing, you know. People be surprised scripture. They spoke against me because they feel, even though I'm associated with them, that they would use this verse to misapply. Now go back to Jude again. Let me just close up with that. Verse 2, verse 3. You must honestly contend for the faith. Faith. As I said, yes, you're contending for the faith. Not, you're not contending for knowledge. What it says. Now I have been in this message since 71. I've been a Christian earlier than that. Okay? In 60. Now, think for a moment. Some of you here are new in the faith. Brother Clement here, for example. I don't expect him to know more than than I do. Is that not true? Sure. Neither do I expect Paul to know more than what I know. But I'm not contending for my knowledge. Because if I'm contending for my knowledge, then Clement will lose out. Because he doesn't know much. Doesn't know as much as I do. Obviously, isn't it? When there is a unity in the faith, what is unity based on? In the church world out there, unity is based on ecumenism, or the fact that they hold to the Bible and proclaim a motto. And that is fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man. We're all brothers. All men are brothers. And since you hold to the Bible, I hold the Bible too. So let us not talk about doctrine. Doctrine is divine. So they put away doctrine. What do they have today? The arm that sucks everybody in into this world church is the arm of charismaticism. Speaking in tongues. Everybody enjoyed that. All the gibberish. And you know what? We all them together. Unity is based on one thing. The Word of God. Yes or no? Unity must be based upon the Word of God. And when we talk about unity, we must have the same faith. The same common faith. That's basic. Now, I'll give you an illustration now. Every one of you sitting there, you look at me. Focus at me. Without your eye moving, focus on me. When you look at me, obviously, if you look at my face, my eye, then the area that is sharpest will be around my head. What is that? Isn't it so? Huh? And if you are focusing at me and my head, if I put my arm upstretched, but you keep on looking at my head, my face, the arm is already out of focus. Blur. Isn't it? Yes or no? But you know that the arm is there. You can see the whole picture. You can see the background, the wall, you can see. But keep on focusing on me now. Try to look at me and see if you can see your neighbor sitting next to you. Can you? Or the one who is 1 foot in front of you, on your left, to the extreme left. Can you see them in your field of vision? Yes. But there are some people whose field of vision is not as good as you. Now when I'm standing looking at you, I could see Zoe. Zoe's vision is in my view. I know that she's sitting there, I know how she sits. I just look at you and my vision is here. Well, I could see almost just perpendicular. But there are some people standing in the same position that I do could not see where Zoe is sitting. Perhaps could only see one or two chairs in front of her. Now, when we talk about the faith that we contend for, is that portion that our eye focus. By focusing all the other vision on the sight. All the picture, all the things on the sight. We still be able to see that, but it is not in true focus. It's not in sharpness, but they are there. Huh? But there are some on the extreme peripheral that is not as important. And we don't have to create a big issue and argue with a brother or a sister. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? And that's not a big thing. If the brother can't see it, why do you carry a fast? While I'm standing here looking at you, my peripheral vision, I could make up for some people if you are standing out in an open space of tree. He says, oh, I could see a tree very sharply and there's a red flower. But another person sent a sentence, he said, no, I don't see, I see greens only. Well, that's not a big issue, isn't it? The question is, when you look ahead or focus on something, can you see it? The Bible you hold in your hand, what is the thing? What is the focus in this Bible? The Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Yes. The thing. Then what else? You're lost a little bit out of the focal point. And that's a little bit, huh? Don't tell me, he says, oh, people, oh my God, you're telling me that just Jesus Christ only, the denominations of Jesus Christ only. I said, yes, I know. But your focal point, just a little out of the focal point, you see more. Sharply, until the edge fade away. And that's what God is trying to show you. Stand on Christ and let you increase your from faith to faith, from glory to glory. You build your image from the inside out. Do you understand? So what are you going to see? Yes, God and the Son, water baptism, the serpent seed, the coming of the Lord, rapture soon to come, and so we all begin to see all this. But don't make a big issue if you cannot see whether Noah was a pure seed or not. Was that so important? Is it important to know whether Moses had a big long beard? Huh? Or was Moses like the actor in the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston? Looks like him? Wow. Do you have to look at things like that? How tall was Jesus? What hair was Jesus wearing? I mean, what he had? How old was Peter? Did he have a beard? Was his head onto the shoulder? Was his hair cut short like you and me? Young man, you know, like men's haircut? Big deal. But some people is just strict thing. You know what I fear for? It's ministers who start to call him unnecessarily, and then they push it down, and those followers of his will take up the same spirit. And I've seen it. Like in the Philippines. Like in Africa. They took up the same spirit. And they start to say, so and so has blasphemed. I have given him up to Satan. Sometimes some of these things are really strange when I was in Africa when I heard this. So and so has cast him out to Satan because he blasphemed. I said, what did he blaspheme? So small little things that he caused him to say to them. You think he act like Paul, you know? You watch your spirit. You walk in the word. You, if you understand the word of God, that's the way you should. Looking at the same. Not at your knowledge. Not at what your eyes could see and others could not see. Just be a little kinder. Huh? And be a little blinder. Yeah, some people are so unfortunate, you know. Sometime when I was with my wife, and I said, could you see this? What is that? I can't see. You know, eyes are so good, so can't see. And then sometimes, you know, because young people are different. When they tell one, or young people, when they're young people, can you see that? They say, no, I didn't see it. You're stupid, you're blind one. You know, you're trying to get a little upset, you start to score the boy, you know. But when you come to the faith, it takes a while to learn. And so, just a patient. So the person can go along and learn. And I pray that we stop here. So when you contend for the faith, then I'll simply contend for what we know. The scripture says that which revelation is given us concerning Jesus Christ and Him glorified, concerning the relationship between the Father and the Son and His, our relationship with them, and all that God has revealed to us in this generation. Not contributing anything as major that will destroy the faith of a person. Do you understand? Not like what we have here in Singapore. Rapture is gone. Millennium is here. And you wonder, millennium is here, why is the world in this condition? Wasn't the millennium, the age of each generation, supposed to be full of glory of God? Huh? And you tell them, oh, they'll tell you, oh, it's spiritual. And the person who is already confused can't understand. Here, one moment is it here? The Bible says it's the glory on the earth. And now he says spiritual. What's spiritual? We don't need the communion anymore. But Jesus said, he come, but he has come. Now I'm confused. But we are seeing face to face. No, we see face to face spiritually. What do you mean by spiritually face to face? Now you see how the word are distorted, and that is what destroys the people. And such are the ones that you can call in if you want to. But otherwise, refrain from foolish babbling and struggling out with words. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. Truly that which you have given us is full of great price. The old corn of the land. We thank you, Father, for the rarity that this thing are fruitful, Lord, and valuable. Never help us to hold on to the faith, Lord, walking in the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Take the word, Father, and bless those that hear. And may they understand, Father, the faith that you have given us. It's not based on man's knowledge. It's not based on someone's understanding of the gospel or someone's understanding of the word and try to force others to conform. I ask for your grace, Father, that we remain as what you want us to be. A people full of grace and mercy, love and understanding towards fellow brothers and sisters, Lord. And the liberty that you have given us in Christ Jesus, the liberty of the Spirit, may we understand this, Lord, that there is no liberty if we, being a prisoner of Christ, receive not that freedom from the Lord. And all liberty that should be are within the confines of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and glory now. Bless, Lord, in Jesus' name.